In all the plans for redefining strategy in Iraq, there's one thing everyone agrees on: pumping up the number of U.S. combat advisors training Iraqi security forces. Even with talk of withdrawing American troops, the U.S. Army is moving ahead on a plan that could add thousands of more trainers. For our series of conversations this week about Iraq and the U.S. military, we reached Lieutenant Colonel John Nagle at Fort Riley, Kansas. His book on guerrilla warfare is required reading in the U.S. military. Now, Lieutenant Colonel Nagle is in charge of the new Army program to train the trainers.
It attempts to be a balance between individual soldier survival skills, combat-related sort of skills, from firing your weapon, firing heavy weapons. I've got some of my soldiers today are out on a mounted combat patrol where they'll react to simulated improvised explosive devices. They'll react to a sniper, and they will engage targets with 50 caliber machine guns. So real good Army combat training. But then the other half of the training is teaching them and helping them understand the society and the culture they're working in, cultural awareness and cultural competency in Iraq, and also helping them learn how to be advisors, which is a little bit different than knowing how to do the combat yourself.
If I was on the ground with these U.S. soldiers, what would I see now that I wouldn't have seen 6 months ago?
I think what you're going to see is a higher caliber soldier leading these teams, a higher caliber non-commissioned officer in this team. Increasingly are folks who've already served one combat tour, so they've practiced counterinsurgency as an American, and they are thus better able to advise Iraqi security forces on how to do it themselves. You need to have your very best in that mission, and increasingly we're doing that.
And do the very best get rewarded for taking this assignment?
That really remains to be seen. We as an Army have really just started putting the focus on this mission in a lot of ways over the course of the last year. Promotion boards are being instructed to regard this mission as very, very important. It is certainly my hope and my belief that the Army will reward those who do this most dangerous and what I believe to be the most important mission in the Army, in the nation right now.
This training is being ramped up. President Bush has been saying, as the Iraqis stand up, we will stand down, for at least the last 2 years. So why has it taken so long to standardize, to ramp up this training?
That's a hard question for me to answer. What I can say is that over the course of the past year, we're putting an awful lot of resources into this now. We are recognizing the absolute priority that this mission has for the Army and the nation, and we're going at it gangbusters.
In the early days of this training program, the caliber of the officers were different. It was, you know, who can I spare to send off to these training programs? That appears to have changed, but why did it take this long for that idea to be put into practice in the training program?
The Army has, for its entire history, I think, focused on conventional combat operations and putting its most talented leaders in charge of leading America's sons and daughters into war. And it's taken a while for the Army's personnel system, the Army's officer corps, to really understand how fundamental this shift is, that the key to success is no longer exclusively American combat units well-trained and well-led, but is now increasingly Iraqi security forces well-trained and well-led.
You're training about 5,000 advisors, but there are hundreds of thousands of Iraqi soldiers and police out there. Do you have enough people to embed down to that kind of level to make the Iraqi army work?
The advisory teams we're training here go out and serve in Iraq and Afghanistan in groups of from 3 to 45, but most of the teams are about 10 or 11 folks, and that's the size of an Army Special Forces team, and that was the model we originally built this on. An 11-man team can advise really at the battalion level, at the brigade level, at the division level, but is designed really to help the senior leader in an organization, the senior commander in an organization, and his immediate staff. With a larger team, we could embed advisors down to a lower level, which would allow us to help train Iraqi security forces more rapidly. Currently, we are not able in most cases to push advisors down to the company level. And the kind of war we're fighting today is a company commander's war, a platoon leader's war for Iraqi security forces as well as for American forces.
Who's filling in behind these officers? What happens when you pull them away from combat? Does that strain U.S. forces on the ground?
The Army is not manned, is not organized, designed, trained, or equipped to provide these 5,000 soldiers who have been pulled out of Army units in order to fill this advisory role. And these are senior folks. These are sergeants first class, majors, lieutenant colonels, folks with 10 to 20 years of service in the Army. So when you pull that kind of leadership out of conventional Army units, it absolutely hurts. And the rest of the Army is really tightening its belt a little bit as a result.
You know, the Army teaches and maybe even preaches that it takes 7 to 8 years to make a good sergeant. What kind of timeline are we talking about here? How long does it take to make an Iraqi sergeant a good one?
Well, these are long, hard wars. My favorite quotation is from Lawrence of Arabia, making war on insurgents is messy and slow, like eating soup with a knife. This is a long, hard process. Historically, defeating an insurgency has taken 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years, about the same length of time you suggested it takes to train actually a senior sergeant. My baby brother, Sergeant Mark Noggle, has been in for 3 years and was back on mid-tour leave in July, and I can tell you that after 3 years, he is hard as woodpecker lips and doing a great job. He's also out in Al Anbar, which doesn't make my mom happy. So you can train a pretty good sergeant in a year or two. Senior non-commissioned officers, senior commissioned officers take longer. The good news there is we're drawing largely upon a lot of the officers of the Iraqi army and of the Iraqi police force are veterans of Saddam's army. So we don't have to teach them military tactics or weapons maintenance or any of those sorts of things. They know how to do that. What they don't know yet is being responsible to a democratically elected government, understanding and implementing good accord for human rights.
Thank you very much, Lieutenant Colonel John Noggle, author of How to Eat Soup with a Knife, talking to us from Fort Riley, Kansas.
Thank you, Deborah.